Well, you've got to look at a couple of things. I mean, first of all, on the international justice front, this is a pretty momentous day for the ICC and international justice. And this is the first arrest warrant that they've sought against a head of state and the first charges of genocide. Of course, the situation on the ground may be of greater concern. There are certainly risks and opportunities presented by the attempt to, you know, arrest a head of state. Our concern is that the regime will have to decide how it wants to react. It may decide to kind of lash out at the international community, as it were, and further destabilize the situation in Sudan and make life difficult for the UN missions there and the NGOs and the humanitarian agencies. But it may also decide that its best option is actually to move towards peace and that its options are diminishing and that it should demonstrate good faith if it wants to have the prosecution put on hold.
How would it move towards peace?
It's very much within its power to improve the situation in Sudan. I mean, it has control of the militias, its armed forces who have been laying waste to Darfur. The government is also a party to the peace agreement that brought an end to the civil war between the north and the south. This agreement was signed in 2005, but recently the government has been backing away from its commitments under that peace agreement. It has been obstructing the deployment of the UN peacekeeping mission in Darfur. It's been making life difficult for the humanitarian agencies. It can change all of that if it wants to. It has to decide that it's in its best interest. The regime always has a very kind of calculating approach to its interests. To date, it's decided that it's not in its interest to do peace in Darfur. But this may provide leverage that persuades it that that's no longer the case.
Why wouldn't it want peace in Darfur?
Well, because the regime doesn't want to share power or wealth. And to do a deal in Darfur will involve it giving up a degree of power and a degree of wealth. I mean, you'll need a power-sharing arrangement. It would have to give up seats in the central parliament and may have to kind of enter into political arrangements that reduce its degree of central authority. It may have to, and almost certainly will have to, agree to compensation for those that it has displaced and the families that it's destroyed. So there is a very significant cost to the regime to agreeing to a peace deal, and it has to be persuaded that the costs of not doing peace are higher than those of entering into a peace agreement.
Now that the charges have been leveled against President Bashir, what do you think is going on in the background to try to deal with this situation?
Well, that's a good question, and I think there's probably frantic activity, diplomatic activity going on in the background. The Sudanese government is acting to mobilize Arab League and Africa Union support and is speaking to UN Security Council members, seeking to persuade them that the best course of action is to support the Sudanese government and to act to somehow put the prosecution on hold. There is provision under the ICC's governing statute, the Rome Statute, for the UN Security Council to pass a resolution putting prosecutions on hold for 12 months. And I suspect that that's the course of action that the Sudanese government is urging on the UN Security Council members.
But do you feel President Bashir needs to do some saber-rattling before he would even consider a peaceful settlement on this?
We're already seeing a degree of saber-rattling. There have been protests in Khartoum on Sunday, and then the day before the application was made to the court, and on Monday there have been very fiery statements coming out from ambassadors and senior government officials. But I also think it's a very calibrated response, and I think we'll see a lot of the kind of verbal outrage, but I'm hoping, and to date we haven't seen an attempt to kind of worsen the situation on the ground. We haven't seen attacks resulting from this on the UN peacekeeping missions or on the humanitarian agencies. In fact, we've had undertakings from the government that that wouldn't happen. So I hope that we can take them at their word on this as they try and calibrate their response and work out the best way to persuade the international community that it should look at the option of putting prosecutions on hold.